Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Solo Inter podcast. And here we are once again back for another episode. And here we will be previewing Lazio versus Inter, Manish. A big game.
Yes.
And that too coming so soon, not even like a proper weekend, you know, like on a Friday, so soon after the last one, doesn't feel like a lot of time has passed by, and a big one. I mean, you know, usually Inter tends to play these at least one big game in the first 4 to 5 game weeks every season. And usually, if you notice the pattern, it tends to typically be Lazio, either home or away. But yeah, Manish, first of all, welcome back to the podcast. And how are you, man?
Good. All excited for two things. Yeah. One is the Champions League draw tomorrow, as well as the Lazio game.
Yeah.
So those are the two. It's a big day for Inter fans tomorrow.
Definitely, bro. There's a lot to look forward. There has been a lot of news updates. There has been, the Champions League draws tomorrow. Inter are in pot three. So obviously, that's got some fans worried. And we have Lazio Inter. So let's get into the thick of things straight away, you know. Let's start with the news first. Let's start with the news. Let's brush up as to what's going on in the world of Inter. So first, quickly just talk about this, because I think while there was a huge discussion around this player, he was still a part of Inter for a long time. So I want to first talk about Andrea Pinamonti, because he was giving an interview today, Manish, where he says that I will always say thanks to Inter because they welcomed me when I was around 14 years old. And as a matter of fact, he says that he doesn't believe he got enough chances to demonstrate his qualities over here at Inter. But again, it's not like he holds any grudge. He's happy. He loves the club. We know that he was the captain of the Primavera at one point, and he is an Interista as a child. So he doesn't hold any grudge. And he says that the fact that I'm at Sassuolo, it will help me grow and, you know, launch me to probably even play for a bigger club in the future. But right now, my goal is to focus obviously on Sassuolo. And the Sassuolo sporting director Carnevali also said that because of the investment they've made on Pinamonti for around 20 million, they hope that he grows well, and then they hope to sell him to
sell
a bigger
him. Obviously,
club.
They are a selling
yeah, and,
club.
Yeah, so, of course, that's their philosophy. He says, of course, that club can include Inter, but right now there is no buyback.
No buyback clause,
no,
yes. That's
no verbal
the biggest
agreement.
Point.
Yeah, exactly. There is no verbal agreement either to bring Pinamonti back. So, Manish, with this being said, I want to get your thoughts. What did you make of Pinamonti? Do you really think he was, like, you know, many people said just because he had the same goals as Kamaka last season, he was all ready to play for Inter, you know, we should have kept him. What's your two cents on this situation? What do you think?
See, I think we got a very good deal. 20 million for a Primera player, that's good. And I don't think, like, you know, we had this couple of share with Conti and stuff and played under a few managers. I don't think he'll burst onto the next big Italian striker. He's definitely a very good striker, but I won't say that inter-capable, that inter-level.
Yeah.
Also, I think last time, long back, we had a similar striker like him, Matteo Destro. He was inter-striker. Then we exchanged him for, Diego Milito, and his agent blasted, you know, why would you sacrifice the potential player for a striker right now? So I'm thinking similar scenario. Pinamonti can grow big, but I don't think it's inter-material as of now. Yeah. So it's a good deal for us, 20 million.
Couldn't agree more. Even if it's loan plus obligation, you know, it counts. And it's an obligation after all, right? And the thing is, I've always had this thing about Pinamonti. Nothing against him. I just felt that even though he did well last season, to all his credit, I'm not taking anything away from him. But I don't think he fits in this Inter, especially in Inzaghi's system. In Inzaghi's system, you need your strikers, both of them, to be very good at link-up play. When we watch Lukaku drop deep, or that either that is Lautaro pressing and then carrying the ball. For me, Pinamonti has always been someone who arrives late in the box and then finishes, you know.
It's like a classic centre-forward type,
Exactly. He gives me sort of Icardi vibes, but only difference is that Icardi would always wait in the box, whereas Pinamonti always makes those timely runs. And I do give Pinamonti full credit for his improvement, you know. He wasn't as good before. But I think Sassuolo is the right step for him, and let's move on from this. You know, good luck to Pinamonti. You know, of course, he's an Interista, so yeah. The next update, Panish, quickly, is on the whole Ranocchia replacement situation. This situation doesn't end, man. And as per Di Marzio, Inter will wait until the last days of the market to sign a Ranocchia replacement. Probably fair enough, but I'll tell you why. And maybe I'll tell you why. Because Matteo Barzagli, Di Marzio's colleague, has also said that, of course, we have Acerbi in hand, the personal terms have been agreed. He's willing to give up 2 months of payment at Lazio to come on loan. Maybe there'll be an option to buy. I don't think there's been news on that, but we'll see. But Inter practically right now have Acerbi in hand because also his agent Pastorello visited the headquarters yesterday. But they don't want to finalize it because they want to see if they can still sign A, Trevo Chalobah, or B, Manuel Akanji, wherein B, Akanji seems a bit more difficult because Dortmund are not open to extending his contract yet for a loan deal. So, Manish, your 2 cents on this. Like, would you take Chalobah or would you take Akanji or Acerbi? Personally, before, sorry, Manish, I know I asked you, but if you don't mind, I'll just give my initial thoughts on Chalobah and everyone. See, we have already discussed Akanji and Acerbi in depth in the previous video, right, Manish? And mm-hmm. I don't want to jump too much into them. But as far as Chalobah is concerned, I can see why Inter want him. You know, we all know that Lukaku is pushing to get Chalobah to Inter because he's good friends with him. But, you know, what I've seen of Chalobah, he plays more on the right of defense, okay? Like he did last season for Chelsea, he played a significant amount of games. Also, I was watching Uncle Sharma's preview a while ago and he said that this could also indicate that Inter, then if let's say De Vrij is ever absent, will play rather Skriniar in the middle at that point because we have seen Skriniar play in the middle. So then, you know, Chalobah could move to the right. So the thing with Chalobah is, you know, Manish, he's a good ball carrier. He's a good passer of the ball. And if you notice one thing, he has a tendency to shoot, take long range shots from outside the box, which are usually accurate. Okay. The thing with him is, he's not the most natural defender in the sense that he won't give you full defender vibes. Like, he's not going to give you that aggressive defender vibes, you know. He's not going to strike you as a Skriniar in any way. Like, if you were looking for similar traits, he's kind of going to strike you as a De Vrij more of because he's subtle on the ball. He'll progress mm-hmm. the ball and he'll win tackles. It's not that he can win, you know, interceptions. He can win the ball back. And his dribbling ability with his lean body is very good. But it's just that he's not going to strike you as an aggressive defender. On top of that, Manish, I want to get your thoughts on this before I let you give your thoughts on Chalobah. Is that a young defender who's extended his contract in November with Chelsea until 2026, okay? What are the chances, even if we have an option to buy, is that if he does well, Chelsea, you know, let us have him. Because they'll be like, yeah, Chalobah's done well. Now we are not, you know, we are going to convince him to come back and play for us. Why should we give him to Inter? So what's your whole take on this situation, man, for Chalobah?
For Chalobah, yes. Like you said, certain points you mentioned actually covered a lot of things for me, what I wanted to say. So not much to add.
Sorry, I'm sorry, but I had to get
not
out,
much
man.
To add on Chalobah's situation.
No, but go ahead, man. Go ahead.
So, no, it'll be repetitive if I say the same points. But one thing for a fact, you mentioned this. Skriniar being on the center, I think on the long run, I would personally see Skriniar play as a center back rather than right back because, you know, the right back position requires a lot of pace and Skriniar is a little short on that. So because if any of the wingers can beat their man, it's clear. So Skriniar is not that paciest of the center backs we have. So I personally would like to see Skriniar shifted on to the center and then a person like Chalobah obviously do great things for us. So yes, about Chalobah is, if we can sign an agreement in the sense like option to buy, like so and so loan fee plus option, then I don't think anybody else, for example, Chelsea cannot change the terms later on. Same thing with they had with Tomori. It was option plus a loan with option to buy. And later on that thing was negotiated and brought down further. Yeah. So yes, the same order you said, Chalobah for me would be option one, Akanji option two, and Acerbi option three. Chalobah is young, guy, 23 years old, he's huge. He's about 190 centimeter, I think. And yes, he's quite built. He has good pace and stuff, which I think all we need. And we need a young center back also, which is growing. Not like Acerbi, which is finished, you know. It's going to pretty much sit on the bench and do nothing. So yes, that's my sure.
And you know, he's good at attacking set pieces, he's good at attacking situations. Like, you know, we need someone who can challenge them. And I would, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm not dismissing Chalobah. I'm just trying to balance things out with his pros and cons. But the thing is, my only worry remains is that it's, I know you said loan plus option to buy, and these terms can always be renegotiated, and Chelsea could also play a hard role.
If it's a dry loan, then yes, we are in trouble, because then it's absolutely meaningless. Because dry loan means then, yes, again, we have to knock Chelsea's door and fix the price, you know. So it's better to get loan with option, and part of the loan is like paid as installment, you know, like okay, they are. I mean, part of the loan fees paid as installment for the final amount, which I think will be a perfect deal. But like yet again, I think Chelsea are going for their main targets. Number one is Fofana, who are highly linked. And the second thing is, I heard they're going for Harry Maguire. So that's, I don't know, it's like rumors as of yet.
That has to be crap. But Manish, like,
unless until that doesn't happen, then Chalobah seems to be far distant because they wouldn't sell him otherwise.
Yeah, and they need cover too on top of that, Manish. The thing is, Leipzig in the last couple of hours have joined the race for Chalobah on loan as well. There's like a huge competition for, massive competition to correct myself, for Chalobah to sign Chalobah on loan, and Leipzig have joined the race. And to your words, Chelsea journalists have said that unless and until Fofana is signed, Chalobah isn't leaving on loan. So that's difficult. Yes. And hence, Inter will try until the end of the mercato. But they may be forced to eventually sign Acerbi. And the thing with me is, just before we cap this off, you know, I would love to see a young defender. And I just hope if he's signed, we can, you know, permanently sign him. But it's not going to be easy, even in that case. And, you know, yeah, I mean, Acerbi is like the very last resort. Like, if nobody is really left, what do? We have to go for Acerbi.
No, but
right?
See, one thing, Parma, you're missing the point, is we're signing a backup for Anokia. It's not like we're signing a replacement of Skriniar. Yep. You get the point.
Yep.
So we need a little... Okay, Acerbi comes, so it's not end of the world, like a lot of fans complain. I know. He's going to be a backup, reserve player, and last option, and nobody else we have to play, he's going to step in. So for that temporary solution, it's good enough. But I don't... I think it'll be foolish to pay off some money to Acerbi and then get him. Then I'll get more pissed. Yeah. You know, getting him on a free pretty much hurts nobody. It's also an experienced centre back. You know, maybe in this crucial game, the last 10 or 15 minutes, we need, you know, an experienced guy. We can't bring in a young guy who has never played suddenly in the last 10 minutes, who can give away stupid tackles or penalty. You know,
but, so that's where also the worry steps comes in the form of, let's say you have a Manchester City in your UCL draw. And then you're forced to sign, like, let's say, assume De Vrij or some two or three defenders are injured, and you have to start Acerbi in such a game.
No, but Acerbi is always, he's experienced in the sense he's played for it. Yeah. A lot of games. It's not like he hasn't been playing. And think, after Cellini retired, pretty much Mancini was using him as the first choice centre back.
Yeah, of course.
Because he's a really few left footed centre backs you have, he or Bastoni. And most of the time he used to play, preferred over Bastoni. Mancini. So yes, he's experienced in that way, which is good. But like I said, our main weakness in the back line, if you ask me, is pace. We need a pacey player. That's why I would prefer Chalobah or Akanji.
Yeah. And with that being said, we talk about you know, Fabrizio Biasi, one of the most highly rated Inter sources. You know, he has good relations and connections with people at the club. He said that Chelsea want like 2 million for Chalobah's loan, which is 2 million more than, sarcastically, he says, which is 2 million more than Inter's budget. Basically, this comes to the, why I brought this up is because it ties into the news that broke yesterday about there were certain clubs that breached FFP, and Inter are among those. I'm not going to say their name, all the clubs. Let me just put this out first, because I know TimeSport is a reliable source. But again, this news was first doing the rounds like 3-4 months ago. The club has known this for months. It's not like it's a new thing. Let me put this out there. Times News broke the news yesterday. Hence, it has the hype. So it's not like Inter are like all of a sudden guilty, or Inter has done something wrong all of a sudden. The club has already negotiated terms with UEFA, which will be made public next month. Okay, so now, Manish, we tie this up with the whole transfer thing, because they are saying, obviously, PSG is not going to get banned because it's PSG, because they're PSG after all. But they're saying that Roma and Inter could receive sanctions and some of them could have implications on the mercato. Now, let me make this clear, Manish, and then I'll ask you your thoughts. That most of the journalists are saying, and even reliable sources are saying, it's not like an outright transfer ban, okay? Because it goes against the point, because the whole point of this sanction is to help clubs get sustainable, right? And if you impose ban on a club that has suffered because of COVID and the pandemic in short, you're basically punishing a club who has already suffered. So apparently what is going to happen is, Manish, is that they're going to introduce something like caps. You know, there was a point where before 2018, Inter were only allowed to spend 60% of their revenue in the market. Stuff like that, you know. So some people are saying that, one journalist from Sky Italia said that if, let's say Ranocchia leaves on zero for a free, right? So to replace Ranocchia on the budget, you can only get a player on a free, basically. That's how it works. This is what one journalist said. I don't know how accurate this is, but this is what they were saying. So if, let's say, you say Barella leaves for 50 million, just giving you an example. So to get that replacement, you have to work within that 50 million or something like that. And other, you know, other calculations, whatever it is, something like that. So we don't know the full details yet, but we'll obviously keep you updated if, as and when it comes. But it's not going to be an out and outright transfer ban unless Inter make their situation worse, apparently, from the already agreed sanctions. If Inter make their situation worse, then it could become a proper, like, a transfer window ban. So Manish, tell me your thoughts. Do you, are you already, like, very worried, like, you know, Inter are going to suffer in the January market or whatever, the market after that or whatever, it's going to just get worse? What are your thoughts?
No, I think this FFP, first of all, is a joke, because they
impose
sanctions on Barcelona, and then Barcelona is apparently signing everybody. So it makes no sense for that FFP. And also when the Super League fiasco came and they said they're going to put sanctions on Real Madrid, Juventus and Barcelona, which apparently never came up sanctions yet. So I don't think it's going to be strict financial implications. Yes, they might get a warning and stuff. Yes, but if they put any transfer ban, then how will clubs sell or buy? You know, then the situation gets even worse. For example, not able to sell anybody, then it makes no sense. So again, it's going to cause more issues. So yes, you might get some warnings and stuff. But again, I think the FFP is a lot of gray areas. A lot of things are not clearly, it's not spelled out clearly.
It's a joke, man.
People go around it. Like, for example, Barcelona, you can see it. They're actually in huge debt. Still, somehow, they're signing massive signings, big players coming in, and they're selling some of the shares and then paying off salaries, making absolutely no sense. But, you know, it's a joke.
Yeah, and but it's always the Italian teams that get punished, right?
Italian teams once again, because why? Because the revenues are not coming in. Things with Barcelona and Man United, no matter how shit they perform, but the revenues are huge, you know.
Yeah.
And thing is, all the Italian clubs have no stadium of their own. That infrastructure is quite poor, which again causes a big hit on the revenues.
No, that's I don't deny that, you know, but that's the thing, you know, we have seen how broken this whole system is, FFP, over the years. It's been a sham, it's been fraudulent, and it's probably going to continue with the new FFP that will be implemented over the years. It's just going to, you know, increase the gap, the current gap that is, it's just going to get wider, you know. So let's move on from this FFP topic. Sorry, Manish, I wanted to say something.
No, I'm just saying the only way to solve this would be a rich Arab investor getting over some Italian league. Because you saw Chinese people come in, you saw like a couple of Italian Americans not wanting to splash the cash. So unless somebody comes, makes the league more exciting and fun, you know, that, then it's going to be a different story altogether.
Yeah, I agree. And yeah, I mean, what can we do, right? Technically, before I cap this off, we're used to not spending every window either way. We barely shell out money. We do loan plus option deals. We do loan plus obligation over 3-4 years.
As far as I can remember, this was always the case. Only the time when Conte came in, I think he actually really worked his arse off to get Lukaku, Barella, all Hakimi, all in the same window. You know, that's crazy now thinking of it.
So either way, As someone mentioned on a WhatsApp chat, I can't remember who it was. The joke is on UEFA, man. Inter don't spend either way. So let's move on from this. The next piece of news, Manish, before we move into Lazio Inter. Oh, actually, I think that's it. Oh yeah, no. Let me get your thoughts on the team news first, because before we delve into Lazio Inter,
what about the Champions League draws?
Oh yeah, so let's go ahead with the Champions League draw first. Then. Perfect. No worries. So Manish, the Champions League draw is, of course, coming up tomorrow in pod 3, as we discussed.
Yes.
And there are some, of course, you know, personally, I'll just give my 2 cents. Like, I'm never ever scared of who we are going to get, because it's the Champions League, right, Manish? After all, at some point, you're going to face the best of the best. We've played Real Madrid even after being in pot 1, right? It's not going to change. So Manish, I want to get your quick thoughts, because you have some deadly combinations that are possible. Like, I just saw this one combination: Real Madrid, Liverpool, Inter, Marseille. That's quite tough, you know.
No, so if Manish, you tell me... check out, sorry. What's the question again?
No, so Manish,
What
I'm saying is that there are some really dangerous combinations that are possible, you know, like Real Madrid, Liverpool, Inter, Marseille. What do you think? Are you nervous? Does it make you nervous every season? Pretty much every season going into the draw, seeing Inter in pot 3, or what do you take it as it comes?
See, no, because what happens, Champions League draws are pretty much like 50% luck also plays into it, you know, how further you progress. And I think it's very important for us that it's imperative we get out of the group stage, because that brings a lot of money. So I consider this competition seriously. It's not like, okay, just for sake of playing a few matches. It's not about that. It's just we have to get. It's like an obligation for us to get out of the group stages, you know, for this funds to come in. And I worked out a few scenarios myself. I did some random draws. And I think what I saw was Man City, Barcelona, Inter, and like Celtic, for example. It's always Inter and Pot 3 is going to be obviously the toughest group. And if you check this time, Pot 1 is really strong. Yes, Pot 2 is even stronger, I feel. So it's always going to be very tricky. And definitely. I feel Pot 1, as far as we can avoid Man City and Bayern, I think the rest of all teams are fine. You know, Man City, Bayern for me are the main Pot 1 teams to avoid. In Pot 2, if you ask me, is going to be Liverpool and Barcelona. I think it's, I pretty much, for some reason, I have a feeling that Conte reunion is going to happen. We're going to get Tottenham from Pot 2. It's going to be Inter and Tottenham. And
and it's probably not going to end well for us, right? Of course, but...
No, but I mean, they always... The joke is on Conte that he never...
Conte
he,
for
he
the...
cannot get out of group stages. So,
but then, Inter is Inter, right? So that's two weird things, factors coming together, and then we'll finally get to see who breaks the jinx first.
No, but I'm happy to face Tottenham, you know, because I think it's about time. Because I know Conte for a fact is going to be very defensive on these matches and hit us on the counter. So as long as Lukaku and the boys can prove the mettle, I think it's going to be one of the fun matches, you know, if we get Tottenham.
To be fair, they have a good squad. So let's see. We are all pumped for the draw. We won't delve too much into this. The draw is tomorrow, guys.
Yes.
Do tune in as per your local time zones. And just to make it clear, just to highlight Inter's, just to make some highlights from each pot, you know, there's Ajax in pot one, there's Eintracht Frankfurt for winning the Europa League, of course, Real Madrid, Man City, AC Milan, Bayern, PSG, Porto. In pot two, you have Liverpool, Chelsea, Barcelona, Juventus, Atletico Madrid, Sevilla, RB Leipzig, Tottenham. In pot three, you have Dortmund, Salzburg, Shakhtar, Inter, Napoli, Sporting, Club Portugal, Bayer Leverkusen, and one more spot to be filled. It could be Marseille moved up to pot three. And in pot four, you only have so far Club Brugge and Celtic confirmed. The rest will be confirmed tonight in the pending matches. So that's it for the Champions League draw. Honestly, personally, it's fine by me if we get the group of death, you know, Manchester City, as you said, Barcelona and Inter and whoever else. No, I don't really mind personally. I'm up for it because we have to play tough teams at some point. So let's move on, Manish. Let's move to Lazio Inter before. Because after the Champions League draw, immediately the next day, actually, we have Lazio Inter. One of the most, cagey matches in recent times for Inter. Last season at the Olympico, Manish, wasn't the best for Inter. That whole controversy in that match. We lost 3-1, of course. You remember the foul on Di Marco for which Inter wanted the play to be stopped, but Lazio kept playing and they scored. And that led to a huge fight, you know, pretty much an argument on the pitch. And that even led to some controversy on Dumfries being racially abused by Lazio fans. So Manish, my point is that this whole fixture, even if today Immobile said in his interview that Lazio Inter is a great fixture, it brings twinship in those Lazio and Inter fans, which we know of. But there is this feisty feeling in this match because, you know, Simone Inzaghi is going to go back again. Of course, Correa will return. If Acerbi is signed tomorrow, obviously not. But then he's also probably going to be there. So what do you make of this fixture? What are your thoughts? Do you really believe in this, like, twinship of Lazio Inter fans? Or do you think it's just another feisty game which, you know, needs to be put to bed and we have to start winning away to Lazio, like, you know, because... It's been, a year or two now since we haven't won this. So, what's your take?
No, I think Lazio, the fans and Inter fans are quite close. They always say that. Yeah. But I think now the relations are a little sore because we got Simone Inzaghi, we got Correa, like you said. And there's always rumors that, you know, SMS will be player of Inter one day in the future. There's always these rumors. So, Lazio fans are always feisty about that. But saying that, last time, you know, the goal which you told me, Di Marco, they tackled him and they scored. That was actually quite cheap play, you know. I remember the Felipe Anderson scored their goal and a lot of Inter players got really frustrated. And Inter was actually very angry, you know, because, you know, a person down there, he scored. So, yes, and I think Simone Inzaghi has a point to prove because he did his job for Lazio. He has been a Laziale for his, I think, whole life. And he also had, I think, almost 200 matches he played, coached Lazio. So it's quite surprising why they don't give him enough respect. And he's a good coach. So I feel Inzaghi should take this game personally and do his best, because this was one of the only defeats, I think, of last season. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, it was. And the thing is, you know, Lazio, it's not like Lazio this window have downgraded per se. It's like, you know, first of all, let's acknowledge that some people have their take on Sarri and whatnot. He still, in my opinion, is a good, like a very good coach, to be honest. Like, you know, it's not that his job at Chelsea was easy. He had to deal with a lot of shit there too. And yet he won the Europa League there. His job at Juventus, people might say, oh, what the hell did he do? But that squad wasn't great.
He's a good coach, definitely. He's a very good, modern, futuristic coach.
Yeah, and that squad at Juventus wasn't really great. He still managed to get them over the line. Yes, he fell short at Napoli, but what he built at Napoli helps them sustain this, you know, success over the years for them. It has helped them sustain it. So, Manish, you know, I think tomorrow's game, sorry, Friday's game is not like going to be something like, you know, Inter go out there, dominate possession or something like that. Nah, I think Lazio will take it very, you know, meticulously, because in the last two games also, Manish, if you see the draw versus Torino for Lazio and the 2-1 win versus Bologna, what I noticed is that in comparison to past seasons already, they're looking a bit more calm and composed defensively. And yes, we've seen Romagnoli get troubled by Lukaku before, right, in the Derby della Madonnina. But in these last two games, he's looked so composed along with his partner Patrick in defense. Like an average defender like Patrick has suddenly, you know, sprung to life thanks to Sarri and showing all his prowess now all of a sudden. And Manish, I want to get to you now, because we'll be talking about Lazio's players, a few of them. We know there is, you know, Ciro Immobile. There is, of course, Sergei Milinkovic-Savic. Then there is Mattia Zaccagni. Then you have, of course, ex-Inter Matias Vecino starting already for Lazio. So it's not a bad squad, Manish. Who do you think is the biggest threat for you personally?
Personally, you for me, I think it's going to be SMS straight out, because SMS, I think his favorite opponent is us, and for last Inter, seven matches against goals, Inter, he scored five goals. He is not only he can score with his feet, he can also score with his head, and we've seen that couple of matches. Mm-hmm. He scored unbelievable goals. Yes, Immobile will be contained more or less. I just hope De Bruyne has a brilliant game, because De Bruyne gets lost, then I think Immobile is going to punish us. So yeah, they are obviously the main threats, but not to less. They are a very strong team. They have Zaccagni in the wings. They have Pedro in the wings. Also, Felipe Anderson. I think that guy, he plays shit the whole season, but against us, somehow he gets life and he comes back.
Leave it to him. And sorry, go ahead. First of all, even I was going to mention Sergei Milinkovic-Savic right off the bat, because people might say, you know, he's the most obvious name on the list. That's not the case. He scored literally five goals in seven games, as Manish said. And he usually tends to be that aerial threat versus Inter offset pieces. He'll score a header or two and he'll give them the lead or whatever. And, you know, he's a very complete midfielder. You know, people might think he's one-dimensional. Why is he still at Lazio? That's because of circumstances. You know, he can play deep. He can progress the ball. He can connect midfield and attack. He can do it all. So that's why he's a dangerous player for sure. And then, of course, we have Ciro Immobile. In the last game, Manish, I saw them against Torino. Torino, with their excellent composed shape, you know, completely neutralized Lazio's attack. Like, they actually kept Immobile silent. And some of it was down to Lazio missing easy chances. But Torino actually managed to contain them. This is what, as you said, Manish, tomorrow we need De Vrij, Bastoni, Skriniar to be on points. Again, on Friday, my bad. Like, you can't have any lapses tomorrow, because we know that Immobile can score from anywhere. He can take a shot from outside, it goes in. You know, that's how good he is. Manish, I want to highlight one more player. You know, Felipe Anderson was brought up by you, and he's one of the most inconsistent players there is, but he somehow turns up against Inter. But they have Pedro returning from injury. He can come, he proves to be a handy weapon here and there.
Yeah.
But talk to me about Lazzari, because of course, at times he gets brought up by Inter fans, you know, as the player we should have signed as the Hakimi replacement. What is your take on him? Again, he's one of the most paciest players in the league, but not that great defensively. You know, Sarri is not a big fan per se, but he still uses him here and there. So what's your take on Lazzari?
Lazzari is a player which Inzaghi brought into the system, and Inzaghi rates him highly. And I'm sure if Dumfries would have been sold, he would have been one of the first names we were linked to. He's actually a perfect player for 3-5-2 formation as the right wing.
Yeah.
So initially, he felt out of place when Sarri came, because Sarri plays four at the back. So I think Lazzari was out of the team for the longest time, until some injuries and circumstances. Maurizio Sarri then used Lazzari as a right back. So right now, he's reinventing himself as a right back. Yeah. And yes, his main strength is his pace. He can obviously attack. If we double up on the wings, we are going to get screwed in the left side of the pitch. So I rate Lazzari highly. And I think definitely a lot of people don't like him, but I think I'm okay. I like his pace. I like pacey players. Like I said, our weakness is in our defense is pace. So I see any pacey player, I get really excited. And I think Lazzari would thrive in a 3-5-2 formation. Not so sure in a four-man defense, but as three-man defense, he'll do really well.
In a four-man defense, he didn't have the best of outings last season. He was showing signs of improving, which he still is. But yeah, I can see him working in a three-man system. And while he doesn't have the most efficient defensive actions, he has the speed to track back and move forward. So Manish, going on to Inter's team news. Of course, Mkhitaryan trained individually, but not with the group, so he won't be traveling. There's news of Belanova having a calf injury, but it was a minor sprain and he should be available. And so everyone apart from that is available, Manish. And so let's get into the probable lineups for both teams. And I think Lazio have everyone fit. There's no issue for them. Pedro is back. No issue for them, absolutely. So as per Gazzetta dello Sport, because Sky Sport doesn't have their lineups out yet, I'll just spell it out, Manish. Handanovic in goal for Inter. Skriniar, De Vrij, Bastoni, Di Marco and Dumfries as the wingbacks. Hakan, Brozo, Barella in midfield. And up front, you have Lautaro and Lukaku as always. And for Lazio, the 4-3-3, as Sarri has been playing, Provedel in goal, Luis Maximiliano, got a red card for handling the ball against Bologna outside the box. But Provedel now seems to be like a starter as per Gazzetta. Lazzari as the right back, Patric, Romagnoli pair to continue as at the centre back options, and Marusic on left, Vecino to start, Cataldi, Milinkovic, Savic, Pedro, Immobile and Zaccani. So Manish, these are the lineups, So, do you think for Inter, it should be anybody else starting, or are you fine with that lineup?
I'm fine with the lineup. But I think the most interesting duel for me, you ask me, is going to be Lukaku versus Romagnoli. And a couple of times, Lukaku has burned Romagnoli in the Milan Derby.
Yeah.
So, I hope Lukaku gets confidence seeing him and he can destroy, Romagnoli. For me, that duel is going to be exciting.
Yeah. We all hope for that. We all hope Lukaku or anybody smokes one up. Because for me, I'm a bit surprised in the sense of how composed Lazio have looked defensively, in the first two games. And it's early days. I'm very surprised to see them composed, focused and not concede more goals than they already have. Because Manish, this. Usually when you think of Lazio, the first thing that comes to your mind is high scoring, but also high conceding team, right? 59 goals conceded last season. That's a lot, bro. And so it will be interesting to see how this good purple patch for Romagnoli continues. Does it continue against Inter? Remains to be seen. So Manish, these are the predicted lineups. Let's get to those predicted score lines. Who do you think will win or who do you think will score?
I think most probably it'll be a 1-1 score going towards a draw. I think last 5 or 6 minutes, everything can change. Either Inter can go for the win or Lazio can steal it away. So I'm hoping Inter can get a late scoring goal. I'm hoping Inter Dumfries, somebody comes up with the 90th minute header and something like that and steal the 3 points. But it's going to be a very close match. Either Lazio can steal it in the end or Inter can steal it in the end.
Yeah, it definitely is going to be close. No denying that Lazio are a good team and they're looking good under Sarri. Continuity helps, as we keep discussing, Manish. And they've had a good window. They've signed decent players for bench. Marcos Antonio, Provedel as the backup keeper. So it's a good squad. It's a decent squad, at least. And I think, I'm going to make a bold prediction for once, man. I think Inter will win 2-1. It's going to be chaotic, Manish. Like, it's not going to be easy at all. I think it's going to be like a whole chaotic game with some physicality in there, with some arguments. And I feel this is the moment for Dumfries to avenge himself for last season, and I think he ends up scoring the winner, at least one goal throughout the game. I feel this game has to be the one where he avenges himself for all that nonsense he got from Lazio fans.
And also, I want to give one special mention to our subs. I think Correa and Zacco can change the game, because both played in the Olympico Stadium for the longest time. Correa played for Lazio and Zacco played for Roma. They know the atmosphere, how it is. And I feel these two can come later on in the game and change things positively for us.
For sure, Manish, for sure. So, yeah, people, that was our preview for Lazio versus Inter. They're expecting a chaotic game, nothing easy. Lazio Inter always, you know, is feisty, at least in recent times. Guys, so let us know in the comments below, what do you think will the scoreline be? Who do you think will score goals? Who will win? And yeah, please keep subscribing, share to the channel, guys. We've crossed 150 subs, so thank you so much for that. We appreciate the support. Please like and share this video. And as always, sempre Forza Inter.
Forza Inter, guys. Yeah.